Good morning, world. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Beautiful Chicago, Illinois, as it turns out. And this is Tom Harris Live for the weekend of November 13th. If you're listening on Saturday, November 13th at 10:04 a.m., then you are listening live. Yay! And if you're not listening, then you can always listen to the podcast, which is actually posted on the United Kingdom Radio website almost immediately after the show is done. And of course, it is also posted on my own personal site, which is TomHarrisUSA.com. And I do have another Tom Harris USA show in the works, but it may be a while before that one comes out because I've got lots of stuff going on at the moment. So hello. And we are starting to get the last few really nice days before winter. It is starting to get a little chilly here. This weekend, we are expecting sometime temperatures in the 30s, but at the moment, it's still up in the 40s and 50s. So I think that maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe, you know, I never believe anything that the weather forecasters say here in Chicago. We have such lousy weather forecasters here in Chicago. It is simply amazing. I don't know how they stay in business. They're the worst, I have to say. You know, this is really, really, really kind of a bit of a pain. I just don't get it, to be honest. back when I was a kid, we were living in Cleveland, Ohio, my hometown, and I never remember the weathercasters being so terrible as they are here. Very, very strange. Anyway, good morning, everybody. And I want to say hello to all the people out there who are listening. And I see that there's a few of you out there. So hello, everybody. And I do have some plans today. But of course, if people would like to call and have a chat, they are more than welcome to. The phone number, if you, indeed you are in the UK, is 020-3287-1488. But of course, if you're listening on the internet, then you can Skype in, and the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. And we're going to talk a little bit today about Croatia. And I was kind of asking around after the last of these travel features that I had done. And I think the last one I did was about Canada, and that kind of stretched on for a couple of weeks. But it was all good fun. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Croatia. I want to just do a quick shout out here. I want to say hello to Fagash Lil. Hello, Lil. I think she's out there listening today. And of course, we have a message coming in from Mark. Hello, Mark. And just all around happiness today. All right, so going to go ahead and do, before we get started on talking about our travel topics, we're going to do Today in History. And if anybody, of course, has anything to... Oh, I, before I get into that, I forgot to say what I was going to say. If anybody indeed has been to Croatia and has a favorite place that they like to go in Croatia, please feel free to give us a call. I think I'm going to start talking about that probably about 10 minutes or so. So you can ready your material and feel free to give us a call here. All right, so Today in History. In 1775, the American Revolutionary Forces captured the Canadian city of Montreal. In 1789, Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Nothing is certain in life but death and taxes." In 1843, Mount Rainier in Washington State erupted. Oh, we have a call coming in here. I believe that this is Mr. Lee Mills on the line. Hello, Lee.
Good afternoon.
And Lee is calling us with a very important announcement, I gather.
Have I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think you want to...
No, there's no show from me on Monday and Thursday.
Aw.
Aw.
So how are things with you, Lee?
Things are good.
Good.
Things are good.
Good. What are you doing on Monday and Thursday instead of doing your show?
Well, there's an event going on in the same studio as where I am. So, as that event is going on...
So they've kicked you out.
Yeah, we can't.
All right, Lee, did you have anything to add to the topic for today?
What is your topic? Because I'm half listening and half developing.
Ah, we're talking about Croatia today.
Croatia?
Yep.
Oh. What's happening in Croatia?
It's one of my travel segments.
Okay. Have you ever been to Croatia?
I have indeed been to Croatia. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show.
Oh. So you've been quite everywhere, haven't you, really?
Not everywhere, but...
When are you gonna come over to the UK again?
Oh, that's a good question, because I don't know that. I'd like to come over next summer.
Right.
But we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
does that mean you're going to come join us live as a guest in the studio? That would be wicked.
Oh, quite possibly, yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Huh?
I said quite possibly so.
But you have to.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping to make the rounds, you know, maybe... You know, go up to Norwich and, you know, go down and, you know, crash in Chris's extra bedroom for a couple of days, and, you know.
Well, definitely. You've definitely got to come to Norwich.
Wow.
And come on the show.
All right. Well, I'll certainly keep that in mind. I like I said, I really don't know yet what's going on, but I am hoping that sometime in 2011... I will be back in the UK again.
Okay. And the deal is that you have to bring Stacey White along as well.
I don't think he would fit in my luggage, dear.
Well, I don't want you bringing anyone else.
Well, no one else, I might have to. Know. I might have to bring my other half.
Oh, no. Dun, 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 dun.
Wait, I have a sound effect for that.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for calling.
No problem. See you later.
Later. And that was Mr. Lee Mills, who will not be here on Monday and Thursday because he's being kicked out of his studio for some other event. All right. So today, back in... What did I think of this call? Oh, give feedback. What did I think of that call? I think it was a fair call. There we go. Yeah. We have to do the Skype feedback, folks. We have to let them know that they're doing their job or not. All right. So back to today in history. In 1843, Mount Rainier in Washington State erupted. People, you know, a lot of people out there don't know that that's a volcano. If Mount Rainier were to erupt today, that would be bad for Seattle. I certainly think that would be pretty bad for some of the more populated areas there. Bob, I don't know, says, lie, Tom, lie and say, because you know some folks here, you will never come back again. But I love the UK. I really do. It is actually a place where I feel at home. There are very few places in the world where I do feel at home. And the UK in general is one of them. I just really do feel like a part of it when I'm there. It's certainly different from, say, living in the US. And I've talked about this in the past before, so I'm not going to belabor it now. Anyway, I want to say hello also to Lil's cat, Pig, who is actually standing in the way of her being able to type coherently. All right, so... In 1895, the first shipment of canned pineapple was shipped from Hawaii. Can you imagine life today without canned pineapple? Well, I can imagine it. Of course, nowadays, if I buy pineapple, I usually buy the whole thing and have them, de-husk it, or what do they call that? It's not really peeling it. They have to remove the entire outside of the pineapple. And because that has that sort of scaly skin to it. And they have this thing at the grocery store, you pop the pineapple in and you push down the plunger and it chops the pineapple into like this square. and at the same time it actually removes the core. But I like the pineapple core. Anyway, that kind of bothers me a little bit. I would actually buy pineapple cores if they just packaged those. In 1907, the French cyclist Paul Cornu, I think it is, he flew the very first helicopter. In 1913, the first electric... I read that wrong. Excuse me, folks. In 1913, the first elastic brassiere was patented by Mary Phelps Jacob. In 1940, the movie Fantasia was released, Walt Disney's classic film Fantasia. In 1967, Carl B. Stokes was sworn in as the first major city mayor who was African American, and that was in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. And since then, of course, you know, many more, but Carl Stokes was indeed the first. In 1971, the first man-made object to orbit another planet arrived at its destination, which was Mars, and it was the spacecraft is called Mariner 9. And I'm sure that we've all seen these photos from the Mariner probes. That was actually the first of the NASA spacecraft to send back pictures of Mars from above. Another space item here: in 1980, Voyager 1 sent back the first close-up pictures of Saturn. I think that Voyager probe went on and got sucked into a wormhole and ended up coming back to attack Earth in Star Trek The Motion Picture. Pretty sure that was the one. 1986, U.S. President Ronald Reagan confessed the illegal sale of weapons to Iran. And that was today in history. Now, today's birthdays include King Edward III of England in 1312, Robert Louis Stevenson, who read out one of his poems last week, in fact, in 1850. And in 1949, Whoopi Goldberg was born, Karen Johnson, in New York City. So, that is today in history. Thanks for that. And Bob, I don't know, is saying that she thinks that pineapples come in tins. And she heard it grows on trees like that. I've seen pineapple plants, and it's kind of weird. They do look odd. Mark Stevens says pineapple chunks. Yeah, pineapple chunks. I love pineapple. I used to know somebody. This was a while ago now, but I knew somebody. It was one of my friends here in Chicago who was obsessed with pineapple. He would have pineapple at every meal. It was bizarre, and we would go to the Melrose Diner, which is on Melrose or Montrose? I could never get that right, ever. I think it's Montrose Diner. Sorry about that. The Montrose Diner down in an area of Chicago called Boys Town, sort of the gay area of Chicago. And no, it is the Melrose Diner. Okay, yeah, it's on the corner of Melrose and Broadway down in Boys Town, and they have pineapple as a side dish there, and he would always want to go there to have a bite to eat. So, that was really, really strange. Anyway, I can only imagine. He probably keeps Dole pineapple in business. Anyway, so moving on, that was today in history. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Croatia. And I do have a fair amount to say. Now, of course, if anybody would like to call in and chat about Croatia, they are more than welcome to. But before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and play Tribond for this week. Fagash Lil got it right last week. She was so far the only person to win Tribond on this show. So here's the Tribond for this week.
Tribond, what do these three things have in common? Davison scale, Mercalli scale, and Richter scale.
And that was Tribond for this week. If anybody knows the answer, they can either post something in Skype chat, or they can indeed call into the program. And once again, the contact information for the show, if you're in the UK, you can telephone us at 020-3287-1488. And if you're anywhere else in the world, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. I don't have a Chris Reardon has decreed for this week, folks, but I do have a best of selection. That'll be maybe later in the show. I just got way too busy doing absolutely nothing last night and didn't have time to actually put together the feature. I hope that Chris will forgive me. But, you know, he has been scurrying back and forth all weeks, folks. We've had numbers change in the stream, and he's been so busy that he hasn't had time to decree anything this week. Okay, Bob Idano says, pineapple rings with fried egg and dead pig, a.k.a. gammon and English chips, yummy. And she's threatening her cat. So we won't have any of that on my show, dear. You can't threaten your cat on my show. That is what I have decreed. So... And Mark Stevens, yes, Mark, if you can call on the phone, it's 020-3287-1488. And that is a local London number. It's not a premium rate number, but I think you can just get charged the same as if you were calling London. So you can certainly feel free. I don't know. I assume it works with most mobile phones. I don't know. You know, talking about mobile phones, I was listening to Chris, just kind of the end of Chris's show, and he's kind of complaining about the mobile phone providers. I have a way around that. Completely gets rid of the problem. Don't have a mobile phone. It's much, much cheaper. Bob, I don't know, says, repeat, or I will go for radioactivity or scientists. Ah, okay. I will repeat the Tribon because I think Lil did not quite catch it. So here we go. Here's Tribon once again.
Tribon, what do these three things have in common? Davison scale, Mercalli scale, and Richter scale.
Okay, that was Tribon again. All right, so talking about Croatia, now I kind of do the various places that I've traveled to in alphabetical order. And I was just starting to do some groundwork on my show for the Czech Republic, which will be coming eventually. But I realized, oh my gosh, I've skipped over Croatia. Maybe it's because it's such a small country. But no, it was just a silly oversight on my part. Croatia is a country in the Mediterranean region. It's on the Adriatic Mediterranean. That area between Italy and Greece is part of the former Yugoslavia. It actually originally was a Roman outpost. And you can go and see there's the town of, I think it's pronounced Sisak. I think it's that's the name of it, which in Roman times was called Sicia. And we have a call coming in. I think I know who this is. Hello on the phone.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi, it's Mark from Bristol.
Mark from Bristol. Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm just listening to you now.
Fantastic.
Okay, I haven't been to Croatia, but I'd like to tell you about a couple of places I've been to, which are brilliant.
All right. Do share.
So I'll wait for you?
No.
Okay. Unless I'm on now, just tell me. What am I doing?
No, you can be heard. You're fine. I can hear you.
Okay. Haven't been to Croatia. I have looked at those places. Uh-huh. They look good. But my favorite holiday was Sri Lanka. The most beautiful place in the world. The people are lovely.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere you walk, animals flying around, the parakeets, the parrots, water lizards, monkeys, absolutely beautiful, and the people were so lovely. The monsoon, though, when we first got there, it came over. It was at the end of the monsoon. I've never heard or seen rain or thunder like it. Blew the everything. The other thing you were talking about was pineapples. You like pineapple. Have you ever had red bananas?
Red bananas?
Red bananas. This guy came in. He was at the end of the compound that we were in. And I hate that, the compound. They should all be in anyway. But anyway, the compound. And he came over to us and he said, I'll take you. And have you tried king coconut and red bananas? I said, no on both counts. So he took us down the beach. I thought, oh, God, what's going on here? right? And he got this king coconut and he just carved it with a knife really quick, made a spoon out of it, and we had this this king coconut, and it was a bit weird, but so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the red bananas, they were like a cross between strawberries and lemons. And I've never, ever since seen a red banana or tasted one, but it's the most beautiful thing in the world.
We get a lot of different types of bananas here. Most people think, you think of banana, you just think of the Dole banana, bog standard.
Or the green one that you just bung into a curry or something.
Right, yeah. We would call that plantains.
Right.
The sort of fibrous, a little bit more bitter. Yeah, but we have all sort. There's all kinds of bananas. There's something like 100 edible species of banana, if not more. And I, of course, haven't had most of those. But we do get a few here in Chicago that are used in. They're used in Hispanic cooking.
Right.
And most white Americans don't know what they are. They don't know how to prepare them or whatever. And some of them are quite lovely, actually.
Yeah.
So that sounds fantastic. I mean,
You said you had 120 odd bananas over there, and here we've got two.
Yeah.
Well, one, which is the yellow one, and that's it.
Yeah,
but it's amazing.
Well, it depends on where you go, because here, where I live now, I live in the north side of Chicago. It's sort of an ethnic neighborhood. So we have a lot of Hispanic people living in this neighborhood. So we have a local market which kind of caters to that. So you have all sorts of produce and things that are used in Hispanic cooking. Stuff like tomatillos and different kinds of fruits that a lot of people here don't eat.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we have a lot of different types of bananas as well. We don't have 120 types of banana. I think...
Do you use most of those in cooking, though? Because like this red banana, I thought you got to cook it. But, I mean, to eat it raw was so wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And like here, the yellow bananas. But are you saying that the other bananas you have, you usually use in cooking?
Yeah, you would use them in cooking, usually.
All right.
Yeah.
So that would give the sweetness. Oh, hock at me. I'm a chef already.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome to the cooking show with Tom and Mark.
But I've never been to Croatia. It's a place I've seen. I've looked on the map a couple of times, and some of the country looks absolutely beautiful.
It is. And it's a Mediterranean climate. It's very much like Italy or Greece as far as the climate goes. But it has a distinctly Eastern European feel.
Yeah.
Which is kind of odd until you get used to it. Then of course, then you're just used to it, and it's lovely. And the thing about Croatia that really attracts tourists is the islands.
Yeah.
And they're not...
Are they like Greece? Because I've been to Greece a few times.
They're not
I love Cyprus and all those sort of islands.
Right. I haven't been to Cyprus, but I've been to some of the Greek islands. But they are very similar in a lot of ways to the Greek islands, but they're not as, I would say, not as tropical, I guess you could say.
Okay. If you ever do get to Cyprus, you've got to do the magical tour, which is to go in the hills and spot the moulin.
Okay.
Okay, the moulin is this strange sheep that only is in Cyprus, and you have to go up to the top of the mountains, and in these wooded areas, there's like the sheep, and it's the weirdest thing you ever seen. I can't explain it. It's sort of a cross between a sheep and a pony, and it's got huge horns, and it's wonderful. But you sit there quietly, and you look at the moulin, it comes out, and it's magical. And they say in Cyprus, once you see the moulin, then you can get in touch with Venus.
All right.
I don't know what that means. I mean, that probably wouldn't interest me, but anyway.
Well, you never know, you know.
Why have I come up to the moon into Venus? No, okay. Uh-huh.
Can you ride them?
No, you can't. You're not allowed to touch them. They are the country's a no-no. They are like a diamond.
All right.
They're very special. The other thing I know, when I went to Cyprus, and it was probably split between the Cypriots and the Greeks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The Turks, and the Cypriots. Okay, and what happened is when we went there, we went over to the Turkish side, you were taken in, and all everything there when the fight went on, oh God, years and years ago. Okay, the Greek side says if the Turks ever want to come back, you must not go in and take over their buildings or anything. So when we went round to the north side of the island, everything was there. The villages, although crumbling and everything, the Greeks always said, the Turks can always come back. We would never have a fight with them, which I thought was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't know that much about the current situation in Cyprus. Are they still having problems there?
I don't think so now. I think it's just a case of just put aside. It's just they're not saying anything. But I stupidly bought a villa. Well, I didn't stupidly. I bought a villa over there once, and it was lovely because there's nothing better than going in the swimming pool and saying, I'll have a gin and tonic, and let's get some lemons and just go outside and pick a lemon or have an orange and get some olives and all that sort of stuff. It's wonderful.
So you actually owned a villa out there?
Yeah, I bought one, and then a few years ago, things went bad, and I thought, I don't go over there as much as I used to, so... So I thought, I'd sell it. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. But, well, that is a place I'd like to go, but you, well, I don't, I was going to say, you know me, but I love to go everywhere. I want to, you know, that's one of the things I really like doing is exploring new places.
Yeah, and you told me that you was hiking up the Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah, that was 2009 that we did that. I lose track of time. I was said something the other week about it. It was last August. it was actually a year ago, August, that we were there.
But the worst thing, when I spoke to you, and you said you came to Bristol, and you hated Bristol because of problems, and it wasn't your fault. But Bristol is such a beautiful place. Uh-huh. Absolutely beautiful. Although you got the pig's end of it.
So. I did. It was really bad for me as far as the timing of it was just... terrible. I couldn't get in or out. That was the worst part, is that I was trapped there. And had I come to Bristol intending to come to Bristol and not at Christmas and Boxing Day.
Were you en route? I was on my way to
Salisbury.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and the train leaving Birmingham left like 5 hours late, and that got us into Bristol, I think, at Temple Mead Station at 12:30 at night. We were the last train in. There were no more trains out until 3 days hence.
Uh-huh.
So I spent all of the rest of Christmas Eve, all of Christmas Day, and all of Boxing Day unable to get out of Bristol. It was terrible. It was torture. And I had no food.
You said you landed up with your Christmas lunch, which is a bag of crisps or something from a BP gas station.
On Christmas Day, because that was the following day after I arrived in Bristol, it was Christmas Day. And I had no food. I had some money, but not a lot of money. And so I had to kind of go out looking for food. And the only place that I could find open was a BP gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a little tiny shop in it. And I think I had one of these pre-made Cornish pasties and a bag
of
chips.
They're not real Cornish pasties.
No, it's like the sort of thing you buy at a gas station. Chris Reardon knows all about that. He buys sandwiches.
Cornish pasties up there, roadkill in a paper.
Ugh, it's terrible. Well, you know, and... But that was Christmas dinner. You know, that was it. And I couldn't go. Yeah. Then I found out that there were bars open.
Yeah.
And I went out. Don't remember the name of the place, but I did actually go out. Was able to go out to the pub that night.
Okay.
And you can't get between gays and their bars. They're open every day.
Well, I hope you weren't too cold, because otherwise you could probably have done a karaoke or something in there.
There was nothing going on. There was it was about...
There isn't very much in Bristol. You know, certain pubs that I would frequent, they're all closing down. They're going over to one side of town, and they've turned it over to an absolute rubbish place.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, there's a couple of others up here.
Yeah, the one place I went on Christmas night was actually a fairly nice place, but the drinks were so expensive there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the name of it, but it was all this glass block. And, I mean, you probably know it. I mean, it's a really kind of ritzy, what they call posh, I guess, bar. And everything was glass block and tile and... Yeah, not a real huge place, but it was certainly not your average British pub.
No, I don't think there are very many typical British pubs anymore because they're all being closed down.
Yeah. Oh, we had some lovely ones doing Hadrian's Wall. Of course, there's you're out in the middle of nowhere. You're in the country, and the pubs I think would tend to do a little bit better out there because there's nothing else to do.
Oh, yeah, there are some lovely ones when you go out. Now, it's autumnal here. If you go out a little bit in the country and they've got a log fire and everything, and it's right. Absolutely wonderful, and you're sitting there and it's brilliant.
We had that,
yeah. But having said that, and I'm going to digress now because it's getting cold here, but over your place, it gets freezing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
See, here, we're in well into November now, and we're down to 13 degrees, which is nothing.
Right. I mean, I would consider that to be pleasant. I've often said that my ideal climate would be the sort of climate you find up in the Highlands of Scotland.
Okay, well, that's a bit too cold to me.
Yeah.
But it's nice and bracing.
Yeah.
We're down west. I'm down west.
Uh-huh.
And it's every year is different. One minute it's humid and warm, next minute it's freezing cold. I remember a couple of years ago going to a New Year's Eve party, staying overnight, left there at 5 o'clock in the morning to walk home, and the wind was blowing, and it's really warm, and I'm thinking, ugh. And then last year we had terrible weather over here. So it's not like... well, what you think, stereotype, like you hear countries, that it's always cold at that time of year, and it's here it isn't. You never know where you are. You never know whether you're coming or going here.
And it can be like that here, too, actually, where I am. We have this thing called lake effect, and the lake moderates our temperature and the amount of rainfall and snow and all that. And right now, I mean, for example, it's November here, but we've had actually a very nice last week weather-wise.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to get a little colder. They're saying it's going to get down to 30s and 40s and probably not get warm again until spring.
Right.
But for the moment, it's quite nice out. Anyway.
Because every time you start your program, you always say, it's a beautiful day in Chicago. And I always see this brilliant blue sky and everything. It might be a little bit crisp. And I can see you walking backwards and forwards. Oh, well, I've already explained. Every time I listen to a program, I always picture somebody, whatever they're doing, and walking backwards and forwards. And one day I'm going to hear you say, oh, my God, it's terrible here.
Well, if you listen back in some of my old shows, some of the podcasts, you will hear me talking about how cold it is and how miserable it is outside. But it's a beautiful city, and that's why I say, and this is Tom Harris from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, because even when the weather is horrible, I still think it's a beautiful city to be in.
But isn't that part of it? If you love the place you're in, like I actually love Bristol, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Everything else around you, all the money going down and everything else, and you think, yuck, but you still look around in the city you're in, and you think, it is beautiful, even though somebody might come up and have a go at you or whatever, and you think, oh, go away.
Yeah, well, we have that everywhere, so. Oh, my goodness, my telephone is ringing. I'll be right back, folks.
Okay.
Going to play a quick trail here for y'all.
Whether you want to chat, rant, rave, gob off, natter speak, or just simply listen, then here is the place to get it off your chest. Not like that. Join me, Mike Cullen, for The Mouth of the Time, Thursdays from 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 p.m, where we'll do all of the above. Chat, rant, rave, gob off. Yeah, we get the idea. The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio. Miss it? Then there's always the podcasts. Go on, take me with you. Or join in live. See you there.
And that was Mike Cullen there, the Mouth of the Tyne, and an annoying telemarketer who just called my landline here. So we are actually on the line here with Mark from Bristol. Hello, Mark, once again.
Hiya.
Hi. Yeah, so I forgot completely what we were talking about. It just completely went out of my head.
Just talking about the places that you live in, and you have to get on with stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is, you know, there's so many good things about Chicago that I sometimes, you know, forget to talk about the bad stuff. And we have, you know, we have our share of political corruption. We have crime. We do have some really horrid weather here in the winter, and in the summer as well. In August in particular, I try to go away in August because the weather here is so disgustingly hot. But overall, I mean, it's a great city with a lot to offer.
I don't think I can't remember the last time it was very hot here, because we've had a couple of really bad summers. Not very good, you know, you go outside, but I suppose when you get older, it goes so quick. You know, you had a couple of hot days, and you think, well, is that the end of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Tom, tell me, what do you do for Christmas? Do you actually go for it and put up decorations or all that sort of stuff?
Nope, nothing.
No.
Nope, I don't really
a couple of shows ago, said, humbug. And that's what I'm getting now. I'm thinking, can't be bothered anymore.
It's not me saying humbug so much as just I don't celebrate any holiday. And I don't celebrate my own birthday. I mean, it's kind of, what's the point? You know, I
stopped celebrating my birthday years ago, and I'm still 21.
Well, I started, you know, at a certain point, I started aging backwards. I think I just had my fifth birthday. Anyhow, Mark, I do need to hang up with you. I am going to talk a little bit about
Thank
Croatia.
Thank you for talking to me.
Well, yeah, call anytime.
Okay. Cheers. Love listening to your program.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Tom.
Bye.
Congrats. Bye.
And that was the lovely Mark from Bristol. So thanks, Mark, for calling in. It's very nice of you to call in on the telephone. I thought the sound quality was quite good as well. Fagash Lil is asking, do all them guys have scales? I think she's still talking about Tribond. That's not the right answer, but we'll keep on going. We will muscle on like Mummy's brave soldier. All right, so I'm going to talk about Croatia here, if I ever get to it. I love the distractions, though, folks, so keep them coming. So some interesting facts about Croatia is that up until about the 14th century, it was actually independent. From 14th century to 1808, it was an independent republic called the Republic of Ragusa. And the capital of Ragusa was Dubrovnik, which I'll be talking about in a moment. In 1908, it became part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and remained part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire until after World War I, when it became independent once again as part of Yugoslavia. During World War II, Croatia was occupied by the Nazis, and they set up a puppet state in Croatia that was part of the Axis powers in the war. And that actually explained why there was a border at Neum. I talked about this when I talked about Bosnia. If you folks remember, I talked a little bit about my little trip into Bosnia, going from one part of Croatia to the other. The border of where that is was actually the end of Croatia, because the city of Dubrovnik was sort of the its own little city state, so that wasn't actually part of Croatia originally. So that was really, really interesting. The currency of Croatia is the kuna, which is actually named after the skin of an animal, which I guess they were using for currency back in the pre-Roman days. It would be like a weasel skin. The capital of Croatia is Zagreb. We'll talk about that. There are two parts of, there are two basic sections of Croatia, two states, I guess you could call them. There's Dalmatia and Istria. The Dalmatian dog, the fireman's dog that we know here in the States and probably in the UK as well, came from Croatia. Actually, originally from Dalmatia, was also known as the Dubrovnik Hunter. The most famous invention that came out of Croatia was the necktie. It was invented there, and that is why it's still known as the cravat. comes from the word Croat. An interesting fact about Croatia. In Croatia, people can start voting if they're 16 years old if they have a job. But if they don't have a job, they have to wait until they turn 18. Interesting there. The White House in Washington, D.C. was built out of Croatian stone from the island of Brats. I think it's pronounced Brats. The same stone which had been used to build Diocletian's palace in Split, which I'll be talking about in a moment. And we have another message here. Fagash Lil saying, you get rust in the UK in summer. Well, we get rust here too. So I was actually in Croatia in 1999. Now, it has been a while, like 11 years now. But it's really interesting because that was sort of a strange time to go there. And I came down from Hungary. I decided at some point, this was sort of my my Eastern European tour in 99. I was in Hungary, Slovenia, and Croatia, all sort of in the same visit. I didn't have a lot of time that trip. It wasn't like my 8-month trip back in 1996. This was just kind of my summer break from school. And I was there in August. And August is kind of a slow time, believe it or not, in Croatia, because that's sort of the time when they go on vacation. So it was interesting that, you know, what would have been peak season pretty much anywhere else was almost the opposite in Croatia. I guess it gets really, really busy in September, and they get all these German tourists mainly who come down and stay in Croatia in September. At least that's how it was in 1999. It may have changed since then. Now, my first experience of Croatia was taking the train from Budapest in Hungary, and I don't remember if it was an overnight train or not. I think it was. And sort of arriving at this ramshackle train station. Very, very Soviet-era architecture, very sort of plain. And sort of a dusty environment. In some ways, it kind of felt like walking into an old Western. Well, there weren't tumbleweeds or cowboys or anything like that, but sort of a dry climate. And Zagreb, being the capital of Croatia, is one of the few of the major cities that aren't on the sea. It's actually in the hills, in the inland, you know, away from the sea. And it's a handsome city, I have to say. Now, it's not what I would call, you know, it's no Paris or Venice. You know, it's not that impressive as far as that goes. You have very few of the Roman ruins around that area. Oh, I've been mentioning Sisak. I'll talk about that in a minute. The one of the things I remember most about Zagreb is that it was very quiet, very clean. The people, I thought, were pretty friendly. I thought it was quite true of Croatia in general, that I found the people were reserved, but they were friendly. And it was actually kind of stood in contrast to Slovenia, which I'll talk about another time, where I thought the people were very warm. The Croatians actually did have sort of a standoffishness to them, even though they were friendly. I never, you know, didn't have any, you know, toughs in the streets, you know, taunting me or anything like that. But one of the things I noticed first is that I noticed that there were these odd mustard-colored buildings here and there throughout the city. And I found out later that those mustard yellow buildings are government offices, and they paint them that color so that people know that you're looking at a government office, which I thought was very interesting. Now, at the time I was there, the war in Croatia had just been over for a few years, and they were still in the process of rebuilding, repairing damage from the various wars. Dubrovnik got hit pretty hard in 1991. They were shelled for about 7 months. And other parts of Croatia were, you know, easier, a little bit easier off. They didn't get as much violence there. But I thought that Zagreb, you know, was quite acceptable for a couple-day visit. There are some museums there. Most of them are kind of Soviet-era museums. A lot of them were closed when I was there. I was able to actually go into one of them, though, and that was the Archaeological Museum, because as I mentioned before, Dalmatia was a Roman province, and the Romans had a very strong presence in that part of Europe. Now, one of the reasons I mentioned Sisak before, or Sisak, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, was because the Romans actually had a mint there. That was one of the places where the Romans minted their coins. And I started, when I started collecting Roman coins way back in the day, and I still kind of do, I started noticing on some of the coins I was cleaning up that I would find the mint mark for Sisia. So those coins were actually minted in Croatia. So I thought that was really, really interesting. Now, if you go there today, there's nothing left of the Roman mint. And in fact, Sisak, or whatever, however you pronounce that, is a tiny, tiny little town out in the middle of nowhere. Not really much going on there. But interesting nonetheless. So Zagreb, as I said, kind of not the most exciting city, but not too bad either. It had actually one of the best pizzas I've ever had in Europe in Zagreb. There's a street that goes to the top of a nearby hill. Up on the top of this hill, there's a clock tower. The clock tower is where they had the cannon. It's still there today. They still use it. Every day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the cannon is fired. And that is, you know, tells people what time it is. And I just happened to be up there one day, about 1 o'clock, and I was able to go up the clock tower and see the cannon. And then as I was coming back down the hill, they actually fired it. And that is kind of an impressive thing there. There's some very nice churches. Even though I'm an atheist, I still do love to explore the churches and things. And was able to kind of cruise down the main shopping pedestrian street in Croatia and have a look. I think I was there on a weekend, and there were a lot of things that were closed. But very nice. And I wouldn't recommend Zagreb necessarily as a vacation spot, but, you know, you could do worse. You could do a lot worse. So then after Zagreb, I decided to take the bus to Dubrovnik. Now, that was sort of my main goal in Croatia, was to go to Dubrovnik. I heard a lot about Dubrovnik and wanted to see it for myself. One of the interesting things about Dubrovnik is that it's a relatively small city, only about 40,000 people as of a couple of years ago. Fagash Lil is asking, do the Germans nick all the sunbeds in Croatia? Probably so. They do that everywhere. Let's see. Fagash Lil continues on. I did hear on a radio play the other day that in Bosnia, that all of the houses are built from stones and sandbags, as they charged a fortune in taxes when you finished a building. That's interesting. I had not heard that myself. Could be, maybe. I don't know. If anybody knows, they can let us know. The train in Croatia doesn't go all the way to Dubrovnik. At least it didn't back then. It may do now. So what I had to do is I actually had to take the train to Split, which is sort of the halfway point between Zagreb and Dubrovnik, and then catch a bus there in Split down to Dubrovnik. And that was pretty easy to do. Now, the train station and the bus station are fairly close together, so it's not really much of an issue. And then continue by coach on to Dubrovnik. And when I say coach, I don't mean like a fancy modern coach like you would see going through the English countryside with a bunch of pensioners on it. These were rickety Soviet-era Lada buses. They were like school buses, really. And they didn't have very good suspension. They had a port-a-john in the bus. And I've talked before about how we had to stop at the border of Bosnia and get off the bus and get back on again and continue on, so I'll skip that. So Upon arrival in Dubrovnik, I was at the bus station. Now, the bus station is not near the old city. Dubrovnik is kind of an interesting place where you have a you have the medieval city, medieval walled city. Now, this is one of the few cities that you're going to find in Europe that has an intact medieval fortification. This is a monster, very impressive fortress. These walls are 6 feet thick. They're pretty much intact, even after the 1991 shelling. And they have withstood everything that's been thrown at them over the years. But there is some sprawl, and not everybody, obviously, most people don't live inside this old center of Dubrovnik. And I was met at the bus station by a number of people, all of whom had places for tourists to stay. They'll hang around the bus station with a sign I have in English saying, you know, you come stay at our house and, you know, give the prices. And as I didn't have any particular plans, I decided to take a chance on one of these places. After being sure that that they weren't having problems with that, and ended up staying at a very, very nice little bed and breakfast. It was out a little bit far from town. It was about a mile from town, but I don't mind walking a mile. You know, it's all right. And it was a beautiful little place. I don't remember the name of it offhand, but I have it written down somewhere. And these folks had a little villa. And it was sort of a main house, and then you had three bedrooms off in their own little building, and they were connected, but they weren't joined. I mean, you know what I mean? There was a hallway, and you like a hotel, and there were three rooms. And then in the morning, you would come out, and they would serve you breakfast in their courtyard. And the courtyard in this place was covered in grapevines, beautiful, beautiful grapevines. And every morning, for breakfast, they would serve coffee and rolls, kind of a continental breakfast, coffee and rolls, and a huge plate of grapes. Fantastic. And I remember it being quite cheap as well. Now, Croatia is not as cheap as some other parts of Western Europe. And even then, I think it had a lot to do with the tourists coming down from Germany. And it is a beautiful area, I have to say. Oh, I got to watch the time here. I've got 4 minutes left. I'm not going to be able to finish talking about Croatia today, but I will continue this next week. But anyway, talking a little bit more about Dubrovnik. It is a sort of a beautiful situation, and I didn't mind having to walk a little bit to get to the old town. Now, the old town is the most interesting part because it's been there, obviously, since medieval times. There are five monasteries in the old town of Dubrovnik. Interestingly enough, there's only two of them, though, that are open to the public, and that is the Franciscan Monastery. They have a museum and things in there. And the Dominican Monastery, where it's just the cloisters were open. You could go in the gardens and kind of walk around in there. Quite lovely, actually. Beautiful food in Dubrovnik. They had some, I ate at a very, very nice restaurant there. It didn't have anything that I think you could call uniquely Croatian, but they are very, very influenced by Italy. And so I went to a Roman-style Italian restaurant that just lovely pasta and things there. And the following day, I went out to Lokrum. Now, Lokrum is kind of off the coast, and it's a bird sanctuary. There used to be a monastery out there many, many years ago, centuries ago. And now it's sort of an area where people go out and they lay on the rocks. It's sort of, there's a nude area of the island, which I kind of avoided. And an area of the, it's a kind of a bird sanctuary. And you can walk around. It's not a very big island, but it is a beautiful island. And it's all been left to go wild. And unfortunately, while I was out there, I was swimming in the sea. And they don't really have beaches. You'd kind of jump into the sea off the rocks and swim around. And unfortunately, I managed to impale my big toe on a sea urchin while I was there. and spent my last day in Dubrovnik running around, hobbling around Dubrovnik, looking for a place to buy hydrogen peroxide to disinfect the wound. And you have no idea how difficult it is to find hydrogen peroxide in Dubrovnik. It was terrible. In fact, I wasn't able to find it. I found a store that sold towels, but I couldn't find a store, like a drugstore, pharmacy, anything like that open. And I had the next day, finally was able to acquire some hydrogen peroxide up in Split. And with that, we'll have to take our leave of you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Fagesh Lil for your feedback, of course. I will play the I'll play the Tribon one last time with the answer.
Tribon, what do these three things have in common? Davison scale, Mercalli scale, and Richter scale. And the answer is scales to measure earthquakes in magnitude and intensity. Did you guess that one?
All right, and that was Tribon for this week. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Mark for calling in. It was lovely to hear from you. Hope you call in again. And from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, this is Tom Harris signing off. We'll see you next week.